The Federal Reserve has been putting the pedal to the metal. We have the interest rate as low as it can go. We are putting everything we can into strengthening credit markets. We are buying up mortgage securities to bring mortgage rates down to get people into houses. So we're doing everything we can to support the economy. And we hope that that's going to, you know, get us going next year sometime.
That was Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke yesterday at a town hall meeting where he was at least trying to reassure the audience that he's trying to do everything he can over there at the Fed. Our friend Dan Gross, columnist for Newsweek and Slate.com, joins us this morning. Dan, in this week's Newsweek, you declare that the Great Recession is over. That's a pretty radical statement for those uninitiated, to your point of view. Can you fill us in? How are things looking up?
I just got back doing a turn hauling a 11-year-old to camp in my Jeep, and the highway seemed quite crowded with similar people, so maybe that's a sign, too.
With literally happy campers?
Exactly. Yes, Newsweek's cover story says the recession is over, and then there's an asterisk saying sort of good luck surviving the recovery. I had sort of got onto this. Some of the economic forecasters I trust the most, a group called Macroeconomic Advisors, Economic Cycles Research Institute, Alan Blinder, former Fed guy in the Wall Street Journal on Friday, they're sort of crunching the numbers and saying, you know, what this – the way things are aligning, it looks as if we will have positive growth in this quarter. There are all sorts of factors that go into that. The fact that economic activity was so low in the first half of the year that we're getting incremental improvement, the fact that imports are plummeting, that adds to GDP, and the fact that, you know, some activity is picking up, whether it's housing, manufacturing hours worked, leading indicators, all those are pointing to the fact that GDP is likely to be a positive number in the third quarter. Of course, you can't eat GDP growth and you can't use it to pay your mortgage. So there's a degree to which this is sort of a semantic and technical question among economists. But I think, you know, when the time comes to date the end of the recession, it's likely that it will be sometime, you know, in this summer that the economists declare that's when the economy began to expand again.
Dan, you also write, though, that it's not time to pop the champagne yet, that we may be growing, but it feels like we're standing still. Can you explain that?
Sure. You know, remember, in 2001, the economy began to expand in November 01, but we continued to lose jobs through the middle of 2003. That's not how it has historically worked in recessions. You know, factories close down, they sell off the inventory, then they call people back to work. We have this phenomenon now where there's always structural change going on. So right through that recovery in 2002 and 2003, manufacturing continued to go to China, services were outsourced to India, people continued to lose jobs even though the economy was showing overall positive growth. We call that the jobless recovery. People are now saying we're looking at the mother of all jobless recoveries. The unemployment rate's at 9.5%. Economists believe that it's going to go up to 10% and linger there throughout 2010. We have a lot of excess capacity in this country. U6, which measures people who are working part-time but would like to be working full-time and people who've stopped looking for jobs, is now at 16%, which is a record high. Only 68% of America's factories are in use right now. There's structural changes going on top of the cyclical, you know, downturn that we had. So there's reason to think that we may not have a huge bounce back in jobs anytime soon.
Warren Buffett, he's warned that unemployment could go as high as 11%. So how is the average person listening to our broadcast going to see that the economy is looking up?
I think you're going to start to look for kind of small incremental improvements. One of the differences between this time and previous recessions is that we used to have these big sort of dumb weapons we deployed against slow growth. The Federal Reserve would cut interest rates. The government could cut taxes. We could incentivize Wall Street to go finance everybody who could use money to buy things. All that's out the window now because the interest rates are at zero. They can't go any lower. We're not going to be cutting taxes for broadly across the board anytime soon. We have huge deficits. And Wall Street is basically, you know, incapable now of providing the kind of funding. So the question is, where do we get this growth from? It's not going to be from this kind of top-down mega forces that touched every industry that let people kind of get money very easily and spend in 02 and 03 and 04. It's going to have to be more from the bottom up. And our article looks at the way in which the Obama administration is focusing on particular sectors, infrastructure, alternative energy, healthcare, broadband, as channeling resources there with the idea that it could create some jobs in the short term, but that by building this new infrastructure, we will create new industries and make America more competitive in the long term. The problem is that the numbers, as far as job creation, are relatively small. You know, you'll find the highway project here with 10 new jobs. You'll find a wind farm over here with 400 or 500 new jobs. It doesn't begin to make up for what we've lost.
Dan, so, you know, people have been debating, did the stimulus work? What do you say?
Well, it is working. You know, it was passed in February. Things are different now. In 1933, FDR could say, get me a 250,000 kids out working in the Civilian Conservation Corps. I'll pay them $1 a day, put them to work. He was able to do that in 3 months. Things move slower now. The White House says only 10% of the employment impact of the stimulus will be seen in 2009. It's sort of backloaded. So it's working, but it's filtering in slowly.
And with that, Dan, we've got to wrap. Thank you so much for joining us. Dan Gross is a columnist at Newsweek and Slate.com.
Thank you.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.